This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The eyes of the political world are now on New Hampshire. Next Tuesday, that state will hold the nation's first presidential primary. The primary comes on the heels of a very confusing caucus system in Iowa on Monday night. Results were delayed by almost 24 hours, and it's likely that a total re-canvassing of the results will take place in the coming days. Based on the results that have been released, Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg are virtually tied for first place. Sounding a lot like a previous Vermont presidential candidate in 2004, Sanders said he was eager to take his campaign to other states.
And now it is on to New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, California, and onward to victory. Thank you all very much.
Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to take a close look at the race in New Hampshire and have a live report. But first, the U.S. Senate voted this week to acquit President Trump on two impeachment charges. Senator Patrick Leahy voted in favor of both charges, as did all 47 Democrats. They were joined by Utah Republican Mitt Romney on the first article of impeachment. Senator Leahy joins us from his house in Middlesex. Senator, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Well, thank you very much. I'm enjoying all the snow. I'm actually stuck in Washington right at the moment. We've had to finish up a lot of our material for appropriations because we want to start moving the appropriations bills right away. And I suspect the flights are being disrupted somewhat.
I can imagine they probably are.
I hope everybody's being safe. You just announced that the government offices, state offices are closing, and I think that makes sense. Of course, that's for 12 inches of snow. In Washington, they would do it for 1.2 inches of snow.
Exactly. Senator, on Wednesday afternoon on the Senate floor, you made this statement.
After we've been confronted with overwhelming evidence of a brazen abuse of executive power, an equally brazen attempt to keep that scheme hidden from Congress and the American people, the Senate is poised to look the other way, to pretend the Senate has no responsibility to reveal the president's misconduct and, God forbid, hold him to account. And now the Senate is cementing a cover-up of the president's misconduct to keep its extent hidden from the American people. I've been here 45 years, and I think how far the Senate has fallen.
Senator, as you mentioned, you've been in the Senate for over four decades. You're close friends with a number of GOP senators. How do you explain to folks that Mitt Romney was the only Republican senator to vote to convict President Trump?
Well, I felt very strongly about what I said on the floor that you just repeated. I think it shows the Senate is not being the conscience of the nation. It's not doing what it should. I know a number of senators who have quietly said that they did not agree with what President Trump did, that they felt he was guilty of one or both of the charges, but that they felt they had to stay with their Republican leadership. I talked with Mitt Romney after his vote. I told him that I've been there a number of times when I had to cast a vote that might be very unpopular at the time, but my conscience wouldn't let me vote any other way. And I told him I'm still there. I think I would rather lose a Senate seat because I followed my conscience than to try to fit whatever the political mood is of the moment and then leave.
Senator, I'm curious because you know these Republican senators well. Why do you think they were encouraged or compelled to stick with Mitch McConnell on this vote? What was the driving force for them not to vote to convict the president?
Well, some, I'm sure, felt that the president was innocent, although the evidence was overwhelming that he's not. And that's fine. If they felt he's innocent, that's the way they should vote. But a lot of people felt he was guilty, and they did not want to incur the wrath of the Republican leader who has put tight control on the Senate. He, for example, there's been 200 to 300 bills that have come over from the House that were bipartisan. Both Republicans and Democrats voted for them, but he refuses to bring them up so that the White House could say, look, the Congress has done nothing. Now, I think that's wrong. We're an independent branch of government, and what a number of these senators have done have turned it over to Donald Trump. And then we saw what happens yesterday at the prayer breakfast, something that has always kept nonpartisan. He turned it into a partisan, rambling, almost narcissistic vindication of himself. Even those in the religious community who have been willing for political reasons to overlook his porn stars and the various marriages and everything else, I think even they were shocked at that. And then to continue it in a unprecedented show at the White House, it's almost like he is saying, as I said in my speech, Louis XIV said, c'est moi, the state is me, or I am the state. He's acting as though there's only one person who can speak for the United States, and that's him. Well, there are three branches of the government, the judiciary, the Congress, and the executive.
As you mentioned, there were some Republican senators who acquitted the president because they didn't think he did anything wrong. And what we heard from some of them was, yes, they concluded that President Trump did link military aid to Ukraine to an investigation of former Vice President Joe Biden. Yes, that happens, they said. But they also argue that action doesn't warrant removing the president from office. So they just reached a different conclusion than you did.
No, if you go to a foreign power and say, I want you involved in our elections, and I'm going to hold $400 million over your head until you agree to be involved in our election, that is wrong. That, under any standard, is wrong. And that was what was proved. And when you do that, I would hate to think we're going to set the precedent. Anybody who runs for president can go to Russia or anywhere else and say, here, I'll take care of you, but you've got to get involved and help me. That's maybe done in some countries. It should never be done in the United States of America.
Senator, a number of your Democratic colleagues have expressed great concern that having now been acquitted, President Trump will be emboldened to expand the powers of the executive branch. Do you share those concerns?
I share those concerns greatly, and I think his comments yesterday, this unprecedented harangue at the prayer breakfast, something that is supposed to always stay out of politics, and I understand the past always has, for him to take it over and make it a campaign rally, I think it was embarrassing to some members of his own party and certainly had to cause a lot of discomfort among the religious leaders who were there. And then going on, adding to it, at a meeting at the White House, I think he figures this allows him to do anything he wants, because even when a high crime and misdemeanor has been proven, and it was, he knows he's not going to face any consequences for it, so just go ahead. And I think that would be a precedent. I don't care if it's a Democratic president or a Republican president. That is a precedent we should never have in the United States.
Senator, with the country split on impeaching the president, do you think the 2020 presidential election and even many of the congressional elections will end up being a referendum on the Trump presidency?
I think some will be a referendum on the Trump presidency. I know that the Trump administration has made very clear to Republicans, if they oppose him, that he, Donald Trump, will use it against them, and a lot of those are in states that Donald Trump has carried. But I think that people are going to be talking about this. They're going to ask, what kind of a presidency do we want? What kind of an image does America want? And do you want a president who almost daily comes out with a half a dozen lies that are well documented that they are? And do we say call a halt to that or continue with it? I would hope that we'd say call a halt to it. I heard Governor Scott agreed with Senator Romney yesterday, and I applaud him for that, just as I applauded Senator Romney.
Looking at that presidential race, Senator, a lot of Democrats are expressing the belief that it's very important for the party to nominate a candidate who can defeat President Trump. That's priority number one for many people. You're supporting Senator Bernie Sanders. There are some concerns being raised by some moderate Democrats about Senator Sanders' race. One, that moderate Democrats feel that he's too far to the left and will hurt other candidates on the ticket. How do you respond to those concerns?
I think this is going to be a year where each candidate is going to have to stand up for themselves. On the Democratic Party, you're going to have to say, here's what I stand for. You know, I'm the only Democrat who's been elected in Vermont to the Senate. I've never had party leaders, presidents, or anybody else come in to campaign for me. I said, here's what I stand for. And I think that's what a lot of them will do. I would worry more about getting the best person to be our nominee than how it might affect me in a race, me being my colleagues. It is an interesting thing, and I think one thing that may come out of all of this, that maybe people say, we got to stop having states like Iowa or New Hampshire, much as I love them, being the voice of America. They're not. New Hampshire is no more indicative of the whole country than our beloved state of Vermont is. I think we should have regional primaries. Have three or four regional primaries, and I think that would give a far better view of how the people feel about any one of our candidates.
Senator Sanders makes it very clear that he believes in democratic socialism. Do you think that message is too far to the left for some parts of the country and will hurt his chances if he is the Democratic nominee?
I think they'll have to make up their mind on what he stands for. He will have to lay out, here's the policies I'm standing for, here's what I want. And then the American people have to make up their mind, is that what we want also?
It'll be fascinating to see how the Democratic presidential race unfolds in the coming weeks, and there will be a debate this evening in New Hampshire. Senator Patrick Leahy, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, and I just tell everybody, please, drive carefully. Tomorrow will be a nice day in Vermont. It should be a great day to go skiing.